Well, everybody, welcome to episode 295 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty of Iowa, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help you get there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for an unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, well, we're going to preview the Boys State Wrestling Tournament tonight with both of the coaches from Ankeny. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny Centennial coach Jay Groth. But right now, my first guest is the head coach at Ankeny. He guided his team to a third-place finish in the Class 3A District Tournament on Saturday at Marshalltown, where the Hawks qualified 8 wrestlers for state. He is Jack Wignall. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good, Dan. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we break down the state tournament, let's briefly look back at Saturday's district tournament. I know you told me that your team, you know, had its ups and downs, and you guys certainly had to deal with some adversity. But you guys, you know, had six wrestlers in the finals, and you end up qualifying 8 for the state tournament. And I know it's easy to dwell on the guys who just missed qualifying for state, but you have to be, you know, happy for the 8 qualifiers. I know you told me that they all definitely earned that spot.
Yeah, they did. And you always kind of look back. I think unless you get 14 guys in the tournament, you're always going to think, oh man, if we could have done things just a little bit differently and got those another guy or two in, you always have those thoughts. I've been doing this for 11 years as a head coach, and I can remember every year having a kid or two that just missed, that were on the bubble and just missed it. So, but the 8 kids, like I said, yeah, the 8 kids that we have going earned it. They wrestled their hearts out and are excited about wrestling in the tournament.
Well, you guys certainly had a tough district with teams like Indianola and Norwalk in there. I know one guy, Jack Dorfler, certainly was in a tough bracket. I mean, a lot of it just depends on where you get placed and who you have to wrestle, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It was a pretty balanced district, honestly. When you look at the number of qualifiers teams had, and I couldn't even tell you exactly how many Indianola had. I think Norwalk maybe had 8 or 9. We were in that 10 to 5 range with just about it, excuse me, every team that was there. So looking at some of the other districts across the state in 3A, there were teams that didn't have any qualifiers at all. And I know everybody in our district qualified people. So it was pretty balanced. And we hope to go down there and place all 8 of those kids, right? So it was a very well-balanced district.
Well, I just want to break down, you know, some of these brackets with you. Let's take a look at, you know, some of the roads to maybe the finals that your guys will have. Let's start with the highest seed that you have, Truman Folkers. He's the number 3 seed at 126. Of course, he's a 3-time, four-time state qualifier, and he's looking to become a 3-time place winner. So he'll receive a first-round bye along with those other, you know, kids who are seeded in the top 8. And then he could see the number 14 seed, Nick McAllister from Waukee, in the second round. I assume that's a kid that he's seen before, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. They wrestle, you just never know who they're wrestling in their dual meets, and I haven't looked that up specifically, but my guess is that yes, he has seen him before. It'll be a good opening match for Truman.
And then he could see some other guys, you know, from the conference that he's seen before, I assume, like in the second, or yeah, in the next round, he could see number 6, Kyler Simmons of Dowling, and that'd be in Thursday's quarterfinals. Is that a kid he's seen before?
Well, you know what? Unless he wrestled him in the Jack Mendenhall, I think that they had a lot of kids sick when we dueled them, so I don't know that Truman has seen that kid this year or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot of times, yeah, lamps get juggled around.
Yeah,
so
they do.
I didn't have time to look through all those results, so I wasn't sure if he'd seen him or not. I do know a kid that he's seen before is Max Riggins of Southeast Polk. He's the number 2 seed, and that's who he could face in Friday's semifinals if the seeds hold up. Of course, last year, Truman beat Riggins for the first time ever in overtime in a consolation semifinal, and then he went on to place 4th. Obviously, that's a matchup that a lot of people want to see. I mean, you know, do you think he's confident that he could beat him if he sees him again?
Yeah, absolutely. It is exactly where we wanted to be on the bracket. We wanted to be on that bottom half of the bracket, and not be on the top side with that Castillo kid from Ames, who's really talented. So that worked out for us to have those early matches and hopefully see Max in the semifinals. And that's a match that Truman lost earlier in the year. So yes, definitely a match that we think we can win and want to get that one back.
Well, you mentioned the Castillo kid. I know Ames's program has been down the last several years, but boy, they got a couple of tough studs with Castillo and Jabari Henson, and they might have some others too. I don't know, but I know Castillo is unbeaten. He's nationally ranked. You know, what makes that guy so tough?
When Truman wrestled him in the finals at the Jack Mendenhall this year, and I wasn't there because I had food poisoning, but I asked Truman, I said, well, you got your hands on him. What'd you think? He said, I've never, ever had my hands on somebody that felt so different than he did. He just, we were talking about it the other day with some coaches, and he's like three moves ahead. Those guys that are really, really at a high level are looking not at what they need to do or maybe even the counter. They're looking two, three, four moves ahead, and that's what this kid does.
We have a couple of other guys who also received top seeds. Ben Walsh is the number 5 seed at 113 pounds, so he'll receive a first-round bye as well. You know, he could be looking at number 4, Jack Wallacate of Dowling in Thursday's quarterfinals if he can win that second-round matchup. And I believe he lost to him 9-2 in the dual meet, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yep. I looked that up as well and looked back on that match. This is where we wanted to be in that bracket too, and maybe that's easy to say, but having that match with Wallachite, and then we can win that, and then have a rematch with DeSalvo as well. So we wanted to be on that side of the bracket with those two guys, and that's what we got.
Well, of course, Ben is a 3-time state qualifier. He's looking to become a place winner for the first time. I'm sure he's pretty motivated to do that. And we talked about this yesterday. You know, he's a kid that has to cut a lot of weight to make weight. But when he does, he's a big 13-pounder, and that gives him an advantage, doesn't it?
It really does. I've never been a huge proponent of kids cutting weight, but the way this our season worked out, we didn't have another 13-pounder all season. So Ben was a guy, and he has sacrificed a lot to cut that weight and get to that point. And I just keep emphasizing to him that it will pay off.
Well, it certainly did on Saturday when he won the district title. He pinned the number 6 kid, I believe, Dylan Munson of Cedar Rapids Prairie in the finals in 42 seconds. And you told me that the Munson kid wasn't real happy about that result, but certainly that showed what he's capable of.
Absolutely. We exactly, Dan. We said the same thing as coaches that, I mean, that's the Ben that we know can wrestle with anybody in the state at that weight class. He was on. And he feels good. He knows that the season's going to come to an end. So I think that the weight cut is secondary now. Now the goal is to win a state title. When we were over at the Clyde Bean Duels in mid-January, that kid didn't wrestle us. It was our last duel of the day, and that was the last match of the day. And, you know, he wouldn't wrestle. You know, Coach Anderson is kind of looking at his coach like, what's going on? The coach goes, it's not my choice. Hmm. And that really bothered Ben. So when he has something, a little extra edge, I think he wrestles a lot better. So having lost to Wallachite and having lost to DeSalvo, I think is going to be some really good motivation for him to get those matches back and get into the finals.
Well, I'm sure you feel like for these kids that have been there before, like Ben, and maybe the state tournament hasn't gone the way he's wanted to in the past, but they've at least gained that experience. Now that he's going there for the third time, I'm sure you feel like maybe he's more prepared for everything.
Absolutely. You know, we have some guys that are new to the state tournament this year, and we told them that we would get them acclimated to that because it is a different environment than a lot of them have wrestled in. And Eddie Sogato is one of those kids that it'll be okay, Eddie. You know, but you're right. Ben has been there. This will be his third trip. He knows what he's looking at, and that's going to be an advantage.
Well, I know when your kids are down there waiting for their match to be called, you know, they don't even know what mat they're going to, and we're going there to cover. We don't know which mat you're going to, too. I mean, even that's probably got to be a little bit unsettling. You don't know which mat you're going
well,
to.
Well, for me, that's kind of fun because we sit back and they have the board up on that middle thing that hangs down, and so we're like trying to estimate which match is right. Going to end. So that kind of takes the the edge off a little bit when you're trying to figure out where to go and you're talking to the kid, hey, I think we're going to go up here next or here next. So it's kind of a fun part of the tournament.
Well, your other highly seeded guy is Calvin Rocci at 132. He's the number six seed. Of course, he's a freshman, so this will be his first trip to the state tournament, his first experience there. He could face number 11, Joshua Angelo of Johnston, in his first round match, which would be in the second round. And I remember when they wrestled back in early January, I mean, that was a pretty close match, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a 4-2 match. Not looking past him at all. We know that, I mean, he's a senior in high school. He's a great athlete, and we got to be ready to wrestle that match for sure.
And if he could get by that one, you know, he could see number three, Riker Graf of Waverly Shell Rock on Thursday, and possibly number two, TJ Kester of Bettendorf on Friday. Of course, Kester's only loss this season was to Calvin earlier this season. He's got a tough road, doesn't he?
He does. And you know, I said earlier that all three of those highly seeded guys were in places in a bracket where we wanted them. And this was the same way. We wanted Calvin where he was at. You know, he's got to get past Anglo first round and then Graf, and then gets to wrestle Kester again. So, you know, he's got to put together a good tournament. Calvin's not a kid that I think is going to go into there, into Wells Fargo or the Casey Center, whatever that's going to end up being, and thinking that it's a huge environment. Calvin's wrestled all over the country in big matches. So those nerves like that, although he did get pretty nervous in our first duel against Centennial, I think that this will be just another match for him.
Well, your other kids, of course, aren't seated quite as high, so they're going to have some tougher matchups. So one kid I did want to talk about, though, is Cass Johnson at 150. I was a little surprised to see that he got the number 11 seed, maybe a little higher than what I thought he would be, but he'll face the number 22 seed in the opening round. And if he can win that one, he'll get a rematch against number six, Elijah Blewett of Indianola, in the second round, who he lost to in the finals on Saturday. And I know you told me that he gave Blewett all he could handle that match, didn't he?
He did, and I know there's a big gap in that in the score of that match, but we felt like Blewett was really panting pretty hard and that he was just letting Cash up at the end, because Cash is funky. He can do things and score points and pin you in ways that are unorthodox. And so, of course, we got to wrestle I think it's the Crispin kid from Waukee, right?
Yeah.
So we got to have a good match with him and get by him. And sky's the limit. So we're excited for those matchups for Cash.
Well, then as far as your other kids, you have A.J. Rao at 157. He'll see Gabe Rubino of Waukee Northwest in the first round. Brady Klaus will see a kid from Cedar Rapids Xavier in the first round. And then Aiden Winkie at 138 will see a kid from Waterloo East in the first round. They probably haven't seen some of those kids before, have they?
Let's see. A.J. Actually lost to Gabe Rubino in a dual meet and right after the first of the year with Waukee Northwest, and we've kind of listed it as that was before AJ wasn't wrestling well. AJ got beat in a wrestle off before Christmas break, and he just thought his season was going to be over, and we told him to bump up to 57, and he did, and I don't think he had a lot of confidence kind of going into that weight class, but in the last couple weeks he's really, really turned it on, and I don't think that will be the same result as it was the first time they wrestled in the duel. So that's good.
And of course, both Aiden and Brady are seated in spots where if they happen to win that first match, then they're going to get one of the really high seeds, because Aiden would face the number one seed, Matt Crossan of Indianola, and Brady would face the number two seed, Jakari Clark of Valley. Of course, you know those guys very well. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen if they could get those matches.
We have preached that for a decade plus to our kids, that the district tournament and the state tournament, weird things happen. And you just got to go out, you got to qualify, and then you got to go out and just wrestle and not care about who you're wrestling and what the seeds are, and just go out and give it everything you got. So we really preach that hard with our kids, because you just never know.
Well, of course, last year you guys placed 14th in Class 3A with 67.5 points. You had four place winners among your nine qualifiers. You know, going into this tournament, you know, with eight kids and three of them seeded pretty high, you know, what's the team's goal?
The goal for this tournament is always to get a trophy. And, you know, if we could get three kids in the finals and place three or four other kids, I think we're destined for that. And, you know, again, that is something that we're always striving to do. We don't go into this tournament just to be happy that our kids qualified. We have changed the culture of our program, and we have pushed these kids and tried to have some fun with them. And you know, that would be a great feather in our cap for the end of the year.
Now, I haven't studied the full list of qualifiers for every team, and it sounds like maybe you haven't done that either, but do you know if there are any teams that qualified, like, their whole lineup for state?
Polk did.
I kind of wondered if they did.
They actually had, I believe they had 14 kids in the finals.
Oh, wow. Well, of course, they're going for their second straight title, and they're coming off a dominant performance at the state duels last weekend. You know, I mean, do you see anyone challenging them?
No. Nope. I do not see anybody challenging them this year. It's tough to know that going into a tournament like this, right? That you could wrestle the best tournament you've ever wrestled, and it probably wouldn't be enough.
Well, you certainly have some individuals that could challenge, you know, their kids, and you want to see those matchups. So hopefully you can get those small victories, even if you can't get the team trophy.
That's right. Maybe keep them from breaking the all-time score record, you know, with some wins that we get out of our kids and against their kids. So
there you go. Well, Jack, it should be a fun tournament. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you down there, and thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Also want to give a shout out to MJ Properties, the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. We appreciate their support as well. And of course, we host the podcast every week over here at the Standard Building on the north side of Ankeny, just south of Otter Creek. And we really appreciate the accommodations over here. We've got a pretty nice setup, and we enjoy hosting the podcast here every week. All right, well, my other guest tonight is the head coach at Ankeny Centennial. On Saturday, he guided his team to a second consecutive team title in a Class 3A district tournament at Fort Dodge, where the Jaguars racked up 208.5 points to win a district crown for the third time in school history. Along the way, nine of his wrestlers qualified for state. He is Jay Groth. Jay, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we break down the state tournament, let's briefly look back at Saturday's district tournament. You know, I know you're always hoping to qualify 14 guys for state, but if someone had told you before the meet that you'd win the district by nearly 20 points and qualify nine guys for state, you know, you probably would have taken that, wouldn't you? I mean, I know you can always fret about the guys that don't make it, but you have to be really happy for those nine guys.
Oh yeah, very pleased for those nine guys. The whole team wrestled well. We haven't had a 6-pounder all year, so we only brought 13 guys, and you know, top to bottom, they all went out and fought hard, and you know, we had nine guys end up placing third or higher, and had a great day. So yeah, pleased with our performance for sure.
When you had what, six district champs, right?
Yes, correct.
I mean, that's obviously a pretty high total.
Yeah, that was awesome to get that many on top of the podium, and you know, it's great momentum for us going into the state tournament, and knowing that, you know, everybody that qualified beat some quality kids on Saturday, and we really had some kids that really dominated on the day. So it was good to see that they're peaking at the right time.
Well, and I would think winning the district title would help, you know, as far as the seeding goes. In the old days when they didn't seed the whole thing, you know, being a district champ was really important.
Right.
And now maybe it's not quite as important, but it still helps, right?
It does help. It's district champ gets an extra point in seeding criteria, so it, you know, it can bump you ahead of, you know, anywhere from one or two kids to four or five kids. So it helps.
Well, let's break down, you know, some of these matchups that we're going to see this week. You know, of course, some of your kids, you know, got some really high seeds. Let's start at 120, where you got Kel Vandermark. He's the second seed. He's a two-time fourth-place finisher there at state. You know, he could get a rematch in his second-round match after he gets his bye, because he could see Evan Stahl of Lamar's, who he pinned on Saturday in the final. And certainly, he looks like he's got a pretty favorable path maybe to get to the finals, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he's highly motivated to wrestle in that state finals on Saturday night and avenge his only losses of the year, which should, you know, potentially the matchup in the finals will be with Jake Knight. But we got to get there first, so it's one match at a time for him and everybody. But yeah, you know, looking at where he's seated and what his side of the bracket looks like, we're confident that Kale's going to be wrestling on Saturday night.
Well, of course, he could face Matthew Tran of Iowa City West, who's the number 7 seed in Thursday's quarterfinals, and that's an opponent that his brother Cody beat in last year's opening round. So maybe Cody can give him some advice there if he sees him. But like you mentioned, you know, I think the matchup that a lot of people expect to see is the one against Knight in the finals. Knight has beat Cale twice this year by identical 4-1 scores. You know, he's had a few weeks now since the last time he saw Knight. You know, do you feel like he's ready for that matchup if it happens again?
I do. Cody is, first of all, Cale. Mm-hmm. Cale is a 4.0 student who, you know, is driven in class as well, but he is definitely a wrestler. He pays a lot of attention to what's going on in the wrestling world in Iowa and, you know, all over the country. And so he's a student of the sport, and he's been putting in the time. He's working with us. He's working with Coach Brule extra. He's going to Seabolt and getting some help up there from TJ and his crew up there. So I think he's definitely red. Oh, and he's got James Nicholson, who's a 2-time All-American, D1 All-American, has been working with him too. So he's putting in the time and very driven to win that state title.
Well, I had Cale on the podcast last week, and we talked about, you know, some of the opponents that he could see at state. And then, of course, a couple of the top kids at 120, Weston Porter and Alexander Pierce, dropped down to 113. Do you think those guys just thought maybe 113 was a better path for him? Or?
I think so. I think, Cale continues to improve. Not to say that they don't either, but he's, like I said, with his drive and his gas tank, he went out and wrestled Pierce this summer or the fall and lost to him in overtime. And then at the Fort Dodge invite, Don Miller wrestled him and took it to him in a warm out. And I think Pierce just decided maybe 120 was a little too big for him. And Porter, I think it was always the plan for Manns and Porter to drop down to 106 and 113. But sometimes that can come back and get you when you're not maintaining that weight management and you're kind of going up and down, and then you make that cut. It can be hard on you. So hopefully those guys are, now they're maintaining from districts to state, that Manns and Porter will have a good tournament too. But, yeah, I think they see Jake and Cale there at 120 and think they got a better shot at 113.
All right, and then at 126, you have a senior Andrew Rowland, who is the number 9 seed. I was a little surprised maybe at his seed because he hasn't been ranked, but so he'll face the number 24 seed in the first round. And if he can win that one, he would face the 8 seed, Easton Jorgensen of Waverly Shell Rock, in the second round. Of course, Andrew's a 3-time qualifier looking to place for the first time, and he told me for the prep of the week that he's excited about the possibility of facing Jorgensen again because he did lose to him earlier this year.
Yeah, Andrew has a great history of in the last 2 years, all 3 years, he loses to somebody, he comes back and gets after it, and he, as he said in the prep of the week, he wants to get his get back. I have confidence that he'll get after that Waverly Shell Rock kid and give him all he can handle in that second round once we get there. Again, I'll say it again, but it's one match at a time for us, so we're gonna beat this first kid, and then we'll start working on the next one.
I've heard a lot of kids recently use that expression. They want to get their get back. That must be a thing the kids use, because I hadn't heard that before.
I don't know it either, but, yeah, I heard it from the kids. It definitely wasn't something that the coaching staff brought up to them. They do want to get their get back.
Well, I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but if he could get past those first two matches, he could see the number 1 seed Christian Castillo of Ames in the quarterfinals. And I just had Coach Wignall from Ankeny on here, and he was talking about the possibility, of his wrestler seeing Castillo at some point too. And boy, Castillo, he's a stud, isn't he?
He is a stud. Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, I'm a Cyclone, so I'm glad that he's going to be wearing Cyclone colors next year. But yeah, he is fun to watch. He's explosive and super talented. So, when we get to that point and we wrestle him in the third round, our advice to Andrew will be just go out there and let it fly. And, we've been calling ourselves the Flying Jaguars for the last 3 weeks because we need to just open up and score points and let things happen. So he's going to be a Flying Jaguar against Castillo too, and see what he can do.
Well, when you face a kid like that too, you got nothing to lose, right?
Exactly. There's no pressure on you because the expectations are all that Castillo is going to be the guy. So go out and make it happen.
And then at 138, you've got the number six seed, Ethan Sodergren. Of course, he'll receive a first-round bye, too. In the second round, he could see either a kid from Davenport Central or Clear Creek Amana. He is a two-time qualifier now. If the seeds hold up, he could face number three, Will Oberbreckling of Southeast Polk in Thursday's quarterfinals. And I assume he's wrestled him before?
Yeah, we wrestled him in the duel, and I think final score, I think, was maybe 9-6, 10-6, something like that. We lost, but we learned some things, and you know, I think we beat the Clear Creek Amanda kid already. So hopefully, I mean, if we get him, we'll do the same. And otherwise, I think, like you said, Davenport Central is the other one. So we'll get through that and then move on and work our way towards beating the Southeast Polk kid.
Well, it seems like he's in a bracket where maybe he could do some damage.
Sure. You know, Ethan's dangerous. He can score points from a lot of positions, and he wrestled really, really well at the state tournament last year as a freshman. He wrestled really, really well at districts this year, and he's had some he's wrestled pretty well all season long, had some moments of brilliance, and I fully anticipate that he will wrestle really, really well. We talk a lot about pressure as a privilege. You know, a lot of people say that, but you know, you get to be in this position, and you're there because you work hard and pay your dues. So he's going to go out and perform, I think.
All right, and then at 150, you have Isaac Brule, a senior who is seated fifth. So he'll receive a bye as well. He could see a freshman, Brady Rissman of Western Dubuque, in the second round. You know, if he can get by that one, he could possibly see the number four seed, Parker Casey of Johnston, in Thursday's quarterfinals. And I assume he's seen Casey before, hasn't he?
He has not wrestled Casey.
Really?
Yeah, we were injured when we wrestled Johnston this year, and We didn't see him at the Ed Winger. We've seen Parker. We wrestled Parker last year. DeBolt did a couple times, and you know, so we've seen him wrestle. We know Johnston always wrestles tough, and Parker's a good wrestler. But Isaac's another one. He's got to be a flying jaguar. When Isaac lets it fly, he's super talented, super athletic kid, you know, his technique is really good. Max DeBolt hasn't been taken down all season long, but he has been in practice many times by Isaac Brule. So he's very capable of scoring a lot of points, and we're just kind of on him to just let it fly and make it happen. And you've got nothing to lose, too. You're a senior. You're not protecting that number one seed or that returning state title. So we're going to let it fly and make things happen.
Well, yeah, Isaac's a three-time state qualifier now. He placed a seventh as a sophomore, did not place last year, so I'm sure he's looking, you know, to finish his career with a bang.
He wants to get his get back.
That's right. Well, in the semifinals, he could see the number one seed, Jabari Henson of Ames, who he's met a couple of times this year. Henson has handed him two of his three losses by the same score, 4-1. Henson is 45-0. What makes him so tough?
Just really hard to score on. He keeps good position. He's strong and explosive. I think we lost to him in overtime at the Mendenhall. Isaac and the coaching staff maybe didn't wrestle that match like we really should have. We learned from that, I think. Hopefully we get that chance to wrestle him again. And again, just let it fly and go out there, try to score points. Don't worry about the final score, because if you're scoring points, the score will take care of itself.
Then at 157, you guys have the number one seed in Max DeBolt, who is 29-1. That's a good place to be. I was trying to remember, have you ever had a number one seed before? Because they haven't been seeding the whole tournament that long, right?
Right. Logan Neals was, I think, number one seed going in his senior year. He was undefeated, so I think we had one number one seed before. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it is a great place to be. I would certainly not be disappointed if we had more number one seeds. Max, as you know, is also very talented and he lets it fly most of the time. He's out there to score points. He's not out to wrestle defensively or not. He always wrestles to win. He doesn't wrestle not to lose. So he just got to do the same. Just keep doing what he's been doing all year long and stay focused, and I think good things are going to happen.
Of course, he placed third a year ago, and he's been so dominant this season. You mentioned that he's never been taken down other than in practice. And he does appear to have a pretty favorable path to get to the finals. The number four seed is Jake Pontier of Indianola, whom he could potentially meet in the semifinals. And I heard that he injured his shoulder during the district tournament while wrestling Ankeny's A.J. Rao. You know, so who knows how healthy he is. The two and three seeds are both studs, Boz Diaz of Waverly-Shell Rock and Nolan Fellers of Bondurant-Farrar. But those two would meet in the other semifinal, and Max would only have to beat, you know, one of them to win the title, and maybe neither of them if there's some upsets.
Sure.
But who do you expect to come out of the other side?
Well, first of all, Pontier is a tough, tough kid. So even though I know he's got a shoulder injury that he had to injury default in the finals to Rao from Ankeny, but, you know, Coach Manny will have him as mentally prepared and physically prepared as he can be. So we won't look past him for sure. But down there on the other side, yeah, Nolan Fellers, tough kid, tough family, super talented. Baz also, I mean, he's a two-time state champ, so obviously he's very good. So I don't know which one of those two guys is going to it's going to come down to, again, the semifinals is oftentimes the most fun round to watch because everybody is opening up because they know they got to score points to get to the finals. So most kids go out and wrestle aggressive and get after it. It's not really Baz's style. Baz is more of a, you know, hold good position and try to capitalize on your mistake. So I don't know. If Fellers goes out there and just goes after it, who knows what will happen.
Well, of course, Max handed Diaz one of his two losses in the finals of the Winger Invite, where he posted a 4-1 decision, and he was named the tournament's most outstanding wrestler. And I'm sure you feel like, you know, you have to like Max's chances to become your first state champion, you know, if Kale doesn't beat him to it or one of the other guys, but it should be fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I hope he's not my first state champion, but I hope he is a state champion, but hopefully we'll get there before we get to 157. But, yeah, I think he's got a great shot at being a Jaguar wrestler. State champ.
Well, if one of those guys or any of those guys wins a state championship, don't you have to get a tattoo or something?
That is correct. Yes, that is that. I thought maybe everybody forgot about that, but turns out they haven't. Turns out, our first state champ is going to get their face tattooed on my back.
Well, I look forward to seeing that. So, well, we don't need to diagnose all these other brackets. Some of your other kids do have some tough matchups. They're not seated quite as high, of course. At 165, though, you do have Jacob Hand, who's seated 16th, and he'll have a rematch in his first match because he'll face Cohen Roth of Spencer, who he just tech-falled in the finals of the district. So he's got to be confident that he can win that one.
He is. He is. He's feeling good, and he looked great on Saturday at districts after he was kind of a little banged up, and, I mean, he could have wrestled at regional duel, but we just figured let's just stay healthy or get a little bit more healthy and be ready to go at districts and state. And it turned out to be the right idea. He looked great. He wrestled really well, dominated at the tournament, and he's excited about his opportunity. So looking forward to that.
And then your other two qualifiers are Ryan Smith at 175 and Danny DeBold at 190. They're both seated 18th, so they'll face the 15 seed in the first round. If they can win that one, then they're going to face the number two seed in the second round, and that would obviously be a tough matchup, but, you know, you just got to let it go out there and let it fly, right?
Again, that's 100% correct. We're the Flying Jaguars. We got to go let it fly. Don't forget our heavyweight, too.
That's right, Charlie Sloan.
Charlie Sloan, as well, yep. So all of them got to just – they got nothing to lose, so go out and stay loose and open up. And, you know, they're all Ryan Smith, super talented, explosive and strong. I mean, he is strong and quick. So when he opens up and gets his offense going, he scores a lot of points. And Danny DeBolt is dangerous from anywhere. He could be on bottom, and you're thinking, as a coach who's been involved in the sport forever, you know, don't, no. You tell him not to do that. Next thing you know, he's got the kid on his back. So, he's very creative on the mat and gets things done. And then Charlie came to us, a little over a week ago and said, I want to try wrestling heavyweight. And he wrestled off at heavyweight and won. And, you know, he weighs 100. He has to eat and drink before we step on the scale, so he weighs enough to wrestle heavyweight. He weighed in at 193 at districts, and he had to weigh 192.1 just to be a heavyweight. And he wrestled really well. Won his first two matches. Sprained his ankle a little bit. You know, maybe not sprain's not the right, but he tweaked his ankle a little bit. So we just figured, all right, you're in the state tournament. No matter what you do, because he hasn't wrestled a lot, his seed wasn't going to change much from winning the district or getting second place. And we thought, let's stay healthy and see what we can do. So he was on the mat today doing some wrestling and drilling and do some play wrestling with one of the coaches. So I'm feeling good about how he's going to be when we wrestle on Wednesday.
Well, yeah, you said his seed wouldn't be affected. I know he was seeded 24, so he's 24th among the 24 qualifiers. So certainly he's coming in there with, I mean, nobody expects him to get very far.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're certainly going to be looking past him. And his first round match, kid from Waukee, I believe. Charlie, he went out. And he just dominated the two matches he wrestled at heavyweight. And actually in the regional duel, he wrestled the kid that's ranked sixth in the state, I think, from Lewis Central. And only lost by a point. He's Charlie's a really good wrestler. Yeah, just undersized a little bit, but he's strong as a bull. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do too.
Well, last year you guys placed fourth overall with 110.5 points. You matched the highest finish in school history. You had six place winners among your 11 qualifiers. Now you have two fewer qualifiers this year, and only four of your nine guys are seeded high enough where they may maybe be expected to place. But if all of your guys at least match your seeds, you're going to score a lot of points because you'd have a state champ, maybe a runner-up, two other top six finishers. Do you have any idea where that would put you?
It's hard to say. There's a lot of there's Southeast Polk, and then there's the rest of us that can all score a lot of points. Southeast Polk's clearly the favorite to win the title. It's just who kind of gets going and gets a couple breaks and gets some people to wrestle above their seed, which I think we got guys that are definitely capable of doing. So I think our goal is to come home with a trophy, so we're going to go out there and see what we can do.
Well, you mentioned Southeast Polk, and I talked about this with Coach Wignall as well. I hadn't studied the list of the full qualifiers, from every team, but he mentioned that Southeast Polk qualified their whole team, huh?
Yep, they did.
So I guess, they would have to be the favorite.
Yeah,
because they're going for their second straight title. They're coming off that dominant performance at the state duels last weekend. Do you see anybody even challenging them?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of talented wrestlers on that team. So
yeah, for
they're,
sure.
They're going to be really hard to beat. So it's just we're all going to go out there and give it our best shot, and we'll see what happens.
That's all you can do, right?
Yep.
All right, Jay, well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck down there, and thanks for coming tonight.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate all you do.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny, with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home, sell, or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny Wrestling Coach Jack Wignall and Ankeny Centennial Coach Jay Groth. I appreciate the time from both of those gentlemen during this busy week of the state tournament. I'm looking forward to going down to Wells Fargo Arena here on Wednesday, and I'm sure I'll be back the rest of the week for more matches. Should be a lot of fun. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.